Oliver Callan on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by It's For Women. You are not 9 to 5 and neither are we. Conveniently open online 365 days per year, 24 hours per day.
Good day to you all. It's Oliver on the air until 10, and it is now the 11th of December. It's a Wednesday, 2 weeks out from Christmas. Mince pies a boo, we say. Adjust yourself accordingly, of course. And we're up to our old tricks. Get in touch in the usual fashion. The WhatsApp 087 032 32 32. You can also text 51551, and you can email oliver@rte.ie. Now, nice little saunter of a show for you this morning. Pat Kinnavan is coming into us, a cove man, not a caveman, a cove man, and he's an actor of some standing. I promise to do more in the way of theatre in our conversations here, and so we're fortunate to have such talents to chat to in order to do so. And he's a specialist of the one-man show, Pat Kinnavan. He's written a few of them, put on by Fishamble Theatre Company. He's bringing two or three of them back early next year, which is a wonderful time of the year to get to the theatre, by the way. It's kind of panto season and stuff for the Chiltern at the minute, but when it comes into the new year, it's all about a new theatre and lookbacks and so on. And his play Silent is the one you remember because it won an Olivier Award. That was way back in 2016. But the award was stolen in Dublin in recent times, only a couple of weeks ago. And that put the whole play back in the news. And people were looking at Silent. It's a story about a homeless man on the streets of Dublin, which was written at a time of great austerity and hardship, when we assumed in our innocence that when straitened times were over and done with, it would be a distant problem. Yeah, we find ourselves in 2024 with a roaring economy, more employment than we've ever had before, and yet the homeless disaster that was a feature of that play way back then, 2011 in fact, came out. It's much worse than in our poorer days. That's the oddity. And theatre kind of gives us that, you know, the emotion of that issue. It gives it much more than any angry op-ed or raging speech might achieve. So I'm looking forward to chatting to Pat this morning. 51551 on the text. Now, Luigi Mangione is a name known throughout the world now. He is the young man charged with the fatal shooting of United Healthcare CEO Brian Thompson. He's the American health insurance executive who was shot dead in daylight in New York. And it was a fascinating story. How does one go into one of the busiest cities in the world, which is covered in CCTV, not to mention all the people filming on their phones, and seemingly disappear, but not for very long, because when the police issued photographs of the suspect, somebody identified that suspect in a McDonald's in Pennsylvania. And Luigi Mangione is the guy who's been duly arrested and charged, and quite a lot of evidence stacking up against him. But he remains allegations only. He's a 26-year-old Italian-American. The photographs, once they released, kind of caused a sensation online because, yeah, I mean, he's good looking. He's an Ivy League educated man from a well-heeled family. Photographs of him on social media kind of show this good-looking man, and that has become, it's kind of unveiled the shallowness, the suspension from reality, the lack of compassion that has emerged from this story, basically, among the online people. They're calling him the hot assassin, a man alleged to have murdered another man whose family is not getting a look in or not even barely getting mentioned. Brian Thompson is very much the lowly element of this story. Meme culture, as they call it, which is just grabbing photographs and chatting about it online and causing a sensation. In fact, the McDonald's where he was eventually spotted in is getting it's getting downrated by people online because they're so angry that this good-looking alleged assassin was, you know, apprehended there, particularly because it's US healthcare, and it embodies the rage that many in America have towards the healthcare system. For example, I mean, I used a GP once in America, and it was, I'd say 8 years ago, it was $450 just to see a regular GP. That is why when you go into chemists in America, it is just painkillers as they cover up whatever issue they have and they cannot afford to fix it. There's a disaster there. So there is rage. It has lent itself to an insurance man being murdered. And now the fact that Luigi Mangione is good looking in the physical sense. There's photographs of him topless from his social media. with a rippling six-pack, as it's described in some of the more problematic opinion pieces. I'm looking at one of the Irish Daily Mail by Clara Casper, and says, "It may seem bizarre, but many women, including me, are captivated by the hot assassin. If I fast forward past a lot of the rubbish," she says, it seems Mangione may have simply been one more victim of a healthcare system failing many other Americans. One thing is certain, the internet's fixation on Mangione, be it his politics, his pain, his jawline or abs, shows how meme culture is now shaping our perception of even the darkest stories. The Daily Telegraph has a page of him and says, "It's the left's fault." They must have explored the ideology of everyone cracking jokes about this guy on the internet. "How the left have turned a killer," in inverted commas, because it's alleged still at this stage, "into a pin-up. Social media frenzy over Luigi Mangione charged with the murder of US healthcare reveals a chilling woke doublethink." So they're just blaming the left as per their kind of editorial bent, I suppose you could say. So it's an extraordinary thing. The American chat shows overnight have been cracking jokes about this as well and forgetting it's a murder. So we are now living in this post-truth world. Criminal adoration, kind of glorification of the anti-hero. It's not a new thing, but the desire for clicks and engagement overrules the need for truth. And as I always remind people here, this kind of horrible stuff makes a lot of money for these companies. Emma Clark is writing in the Irish Independent, "The dark truth behind our reaction to the murder of the US insurance boss." And there's the image of him in that McDonald's. And it's a London Independent piece, but it says, "To me, the response to Thompson's assassination summarises the year we've had, demonstrates how starved of common decency and human compassion we are, how suspended from reality we've become. Of all the things to unite people, it was this. And that's something we should be ashamed and scared of." Here, here. It's the lack of compassion that kind of strikes me as out of our commentary there. That's the story of Luigi Mangione. If he was poor, if he was considered conventionally not good looking, wouldn't even be discussing it this morning. That's the shallowness of the world. Thank you, social media. Thank you so much for nothing. Now, from that unreality to the artistic unreality, and this will bring you to a happier place, is the story of Bob Dylan is being made into a biopic, which is gathering steam and a lot of excitement. Timothy Chalamet plays Dylan in his early days. It's basically about when Dylan goes electric. And there was a rave review here in The Guardian this morning. Timothy Chalamet, his hilarious and seductive portrayal of Bob Dylan makes him the smirking, scowling, unwilling leader of his generation, whose refusal to submit to the crucifixion of folk acoustic purity is his own crucifixion. What a mouthful that is. Who's in it? Elle Fanning is in it. Edward Norton actually plays Pete Seeger, as the kind of, godfather of music to Dylan. But Chalamet is hypnotic as Dylan, performing the tracks himself, fabricating to an impressive degree that stoner hungover birdsong. He does a very passable version of Don't Think Twice, with a distinctive eccentric intonations, singing as if he's not entirely sure of the tune and appearing to run out of breath at the end of every line. It sounds like all the critics who don't like Dylan's style of singing, of which there are a few around. They have been releasing clips from the soundtrack All Song by Timothée Chalamet, like a Rolling Stone. Good so far, Timothée. Well done. Oh, you're getting a bit young there now. Well, it's not bad. That was a good note. And there's a weakness to the voice there. Weak. Like you should have smoked a lot more cigarettes before you took that on. It's a good idea to remove it when the harmonica comes in. That's the bit that gets people about Dylan, but not me. Don't say harmonica. There are loads of people listening to Adele songs and Nathan Carter. No idea Bob Dylan has written all those classics. That is coming out on the 17th of January, hence Oscar buzz and all of that crack. 28 years later is the zombie thriller that people are very excited about. It's happening next summer. The original film, 28 Days Later, was 2002. I can't believe it. One of many movies said to have catapulted Cillian Murphy into greatness. Lots of them claim that. But he was very, very good at it. Brendan Gleeson was in that as well, 2002, directed by Danny Boyle and written by Alex Garland, who's gone on to great things since as well. Then there was 28 Weeks Later, 2007, a zombie movie set in London. There's a kind of a rage virus which has been infecting humans escaping from a biological weapons lab. I think that's what happens. And so this is the third movie which has taken 18 years to come back to the cinemas, directed again by Danny Boyle, written by him and Alex Garland, who did Civil War, amazing movie of earlier in this year. So the trailer shows Jodie Comer is going to be the lead actor. She's from that Killing Eve show. Very, very good. Aaron Taylor-Johnson's in as well. And Ralph Fiennes. Ralph Fiennes in a zombie thing. Was he in the originals? I don't remember that. They're all seen in the trailer fighting off zombies. But everyone wants to know, is Cillian Murphy in it? And he's not on the list of the cast, which is, could they do a sneaky thing for marketing. And people have frozen the trailer at a frame where they say, there's Cillian Murphy. His character is now a zombie in this trailer. And I'm looking at the photograph. It just is a skeleton. Are people saying things about Cillian Murphy? That kind of looks like a Cillian Murphy zombie. Well, he's in a field of what looks like yellow rattle wildflowers to my eye. That's what caught my eye. But that movie's not coming out till next summer. Speaking of Brendan Gleeson, by the way, he has now added his name as executive producer of The Boat, which is an Oscar-qualified live-action short film from Luke Morgan, and it's based on a true story. You might know about this because they were on with Maura Duran here in the summer. True story follows a father who, in discovering his daughter, Dukia, is showing the early symptoms of leprosy, makes a devastating choice, which involves a boat. And Brendan Gleeson joined that to help them in their Oscar campaign, because winning an Oscar in the short film category is quite doable from an Irish point of view. It's been done twice by McDonagh and more recently Irish Goodbye. So a good luck to all concerned there. Friends star Lisa Kudrow has been out. Kudrow, is that how you say it? And she said they had won reunion dinners in 17 years. And this is kind of sparking conversations about your friendships you make in the workplace and what happens when that job comes to an end, when somebody leaves, when you all leave and so on. So she says they only met up once in the 17 years between the broadcast of the last episode and the reunion special they did in 2021. When they were all still alive. But we only had dinner, the six of us, once before, and we all said, this is amazing, we should do it more. They never did it again. So it's a conundrum of workplace friendships. Someone leaves the job, there's a severance that occurs, and she feels bad about it. Lisa Kudrow. So 087 032 32 32 on the WhatsApp. Big fire in California, perfectly normal in December. More than 700 firefighters are battling a blaze in the upmarket city of Malibu in California, a fast-moving wildfire that, at the time of publication, had destroyed nearly 3,000 acres of land so far. They have so many fires, you're wondering, what is left to burn? The answer are probably people's homes, very wealthy people's mansions. Cher and Dick Van Dyke have had to flee their homes in the area. Dick Van Dyke is 99 on Friday. If we take nothing else from this story. By the way, Malibu is an area where the public fire service kind of battle the wider fires, and then you have to kind of pay privately for firefighters for, if you want your home to be priority, $3,000 a day. I looked it up there for your fire services. So you have a mansion, you're really, really rich. So we're getting messages in on the story with Luigi Mangione. You were probably right about Mangione, but I feel you've glossed over a couple of things. The motive behind the killing, the otherwise unblemished past of the young man, but particularly the fear that this could be anyone's son who goes off grid, becomes influenced by an ideal, hence taking the law into his own hands. We don't know much about the man who was murdered, a lone figure representing corporate America, a country we don't love anymore. So sad, says Sheila in Galway. I mean, even if you don't like corporate greed, it's not a justification for murder. Just a little quick reminder there. And he is still only the alleged killer at the moment. Another texter says, Brian Thompson, this is the murder victim, is a billionaire who was totally fine with death at his hands by not delivering the insurance they needed. It's more nuanced than you think. I don't think that bears comment, does it? We just have to let that one sit, because I don't know where your brain is in the run-up to Christmas. So what? It's more new. Murder is nuanced now? Well, there's no nuance on the internet. OK, I'm speechless. Let's go to something jolly before I tear my pages up. TikTok Shop Ireland's not as bad as it sounds, just as I condemn social media. I always do have the caveat that social media can do very good things. And TikTok have the shop thing, which hasn't always, we've been waiting a long time in Ireland for this. Ireland's now graced with TikTok Shop. The feature arrives in our apps for the very first time. There are rules to know before trying it out. It is launched in Ireland. People now able to purchase directly via TikTok. But it will be different here, thankfully, because the company has partnered with Guaranteed Irish. So the items for sale will be limited to Irish-based businesses only, creators and influencers here. We've had people in who run their own businesses, and they're going to allow users to buy directly from Chapters Bookstore, from Smooth Company, Coco Brown and others as well. So Irish companies, and they're hoping to expand Ireland's TikTok shop, and Guaranteed Irish are on board with that. How do you do it? You go in your feed, TikTok app, you go to a post that contains a link to a product, and you'll see the shop link above the creator's nickname. That's for those familiar with the whole TikTok world. Okay, so that's a good thing. Oh my God. Okay, we got some Christmas music, shall we? We said we'd do Irish people doing covers. This is an old classic that does extremely well. It's Baby Please Come Home and Bono, Mr. Hewson, and all of the friends of you two.
It's Christmas. Baby, please come home.